Hello, ISIS praises the killing of two soldiers in Canada.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Canadian police now say the gunman acted alone. But new information on the gunman's past has many questioning whether or not this was another instance of a so-called lone wolf attack.
And about Bebo's past, we know that in the last few years he did grow more religious. Media reports now say that Bebo had a relationship, knew another jihadist who recently traveled to Syria. This other jihadist apparently is now being sought. He has disappeared. This other jihadist apparently wanted to join terrorist groups.
Make no mistake, even as the brave men and women of our armed forces are taking this fight to the terrorists on their own territory, we are equally resolved to fight it here. We live in dangerous times, yes, but the mission of our country and the work of this parliament goes on.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to broadcast, everyone. A horrible situation yesterday in Canada. We were broadcasting live as it was unfolding. And of course, now, in 1 week, two Canadian soldiers have been killed by terrorists that have been at least inspired by ISIS. ISIS is also issuing celebratory text messaging, tweets, email posts. So they're bragging about this. And as the Canadian Prime Minister went to the airwaves, let's take a listen to what he said. This is the resolve of the Canadian people. And by the way, our thoughts and prayers with the families of the two soldiers killed by ISIS-inspired terrorists in Canada. This is, U.S. personnel were put on notice about 2 weeks ago to be on the lookout for this. And now FBI has issued a warning here in the United States. Let's listen to what the Prime Minister of Canada had to say.
For the second time this week, there has been a brutal and violent attack on our soil. Today, our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of Corporal Nathan Cirillo. Corporal Cirillo was killed today, murdered in cold blood, as he provided a ceremonial honor guard at Canada's National War Memorial. Likewise, our thoughts and prayers remain also with the family and friends of Warrant Officer Patrice Vincent, who was killed earlier this week by an ISIL-inspired terrorist.
There you have it. I've got Skip Ash on the phone with us, or actually in our studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia. He's the co-author of our book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. By the way, we'll get more into this later in the broadcast. We got word last night, number one New York Times bestseller because of you all supporting this book. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But Skip, very quickly here, we only got about a minute and a half left. This is an ISIS kind of motive. I mean, it's individual causing terror on an individual basis in high target areas.
That's exactly right. ISIS would like to take jihad worldwide, so they're encouraging these lone wolves to rise up, to take whatever action they can in the United States, in Canada, wherever they happen to be. They're encouraging this so that this jihad, this movement, this Islamic movement will be worldwide. So this is totally consistent with what they want, and these two lone wolves seem to be right in accord with that.
Yeah, so they both said they were inspired by ISIS. ISIS is, again, sending out celebratory tweets on Twitter. Folks, let me tell you what I'd like you to do. Two things here. Number one, now thank you again. Rise of ISIS, number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. That'll be published November 2nd, by the way, but you get word of it about 10 days early. That would not have happened without all of you. But we want to keep this momentum going. We are educating a lot of people on this issue of ISIS because of your support of the book. So let me encourage you to go out. Get additional copies. Go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Target, Walmart, Sam's Club, wherever books are sold, and order multiple copies. Get it to your friends. A lot of people told us they're doing that. We want to encourage you to do that. So we want to keep it on the New York Times list, but also we want to continue this educational issue as ISIS has now reached North America for what I believe is this third time, twice in Canada, and that woman that was killed, beheaded in Oklahoma City just 2 weeks ago, and they refused to call it an ISIS-related event, but it was, no doubt about it. We're also urging you to sign on to that petition for Asiya Bibi. We are now approaching 166,000. Than's going to give us an update on that when we come back from the break. But if you want to sign it, you can do it at BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or call us at 877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Pakistani mother of five, Christian woman in jail, death penalty because she said Jesus is the true prophet. We can speak out on her behalf at ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Azia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Azia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Azia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Well, the truth of that song, Where I Stand, more evident today than it was even 2 weeks ago. We've got this case with Azia Bibi, the Christian mother of five, sentenced to death by hanging because she said Jesus is the true prophet. Again, sign that petition so that we can get this working at the UN. You could do that at BeHeardProject.com, ACLJ.org, or 877-989-2255. Simultaneously, we want to encourage you to continue the movement. We've started a movement with the book Rise of ISIS. This was a bit of an experiment for us at the ACLJ. We set up our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. As you know, we were there this summer at Harris Manchester College. Skip Ash and I were really working on putting this whole book together. David Frenchton did a great job editing and adding to it when we came back, Jordan as well. And we put the book out. We did not know what the reaction would be. We do know now. And it is a number one New York Times bestseller, which to us is absolutely a blessing and incredible, and that means we're educating a lot of people. And certainly when you're the number one on the New York Times list, people are taking notice, including the New York Times. So that's something we're very encouraged and excited about. We were number three in ebooks, number one on paperbacks. That'll be out November 2nd on the list. There'll be more. We posted information already on Facebook. But again, if you haven't bought a copy of it, let me encourage you to do it. Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It's available in bookstores everywhere. It's also available in an audiobook. You can get it. It's still on an ebook. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, Costco, Sam's. The list goes on and on. Literally everywhere books are sold. Rise of ISIS. And get multiple copies. Get it to your friends. Let me get to Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs. First, Than, the reaction from the president, and I don't know if we have any of the sound from the president on this. We do. But first, what's the reaction right now on Capitol Hill with this? Because this took place, folks, so everybody knows, at the Parliament. This was basically at the Capitol in Ottawa. What's the reaction in Washington right now, Than, to the situation in Canada?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Jay, there's a pretty big contrast here. The Prime Minister of Canada sounded awfully presidential, and to be honest with you, it was pretty refreshing. The President Obama, Jay, he again called this senseless violence, and I know that sounds like an innocent throwaway line, but what I'm hearing on the Hill, Jay, is that words matter, that this wasn't senseless at all, and there is great frustration on the Hill that we continue to ignore or at least shield or mask the very clear motive that's going on here. This is not a hidden motive. As you know, Jay, you've written about it in the book. This is a motive that is being broadcast. We know the motive behind these attacks. It's not a game of semantics, and what we call this, Jay, is important, because if we refuse to clearly identify the nature of this threat, it is coming to us. It is going to happen. We have got to identify it if we're going to stop it.
The president's statement's not like the Canadians, the senseless violence. Number 25.
We don't yet have all the information about what motivated the shooting. We don't yet have all the information about whether this was part of a broader network or plan, or whether this was an individual or a series of individuals who decided to take these actions. But
It emphasizes the degree to which we have to remain vigilant when it comes to dealing with these kinds of acts of senseless violence or terrorism.
Yeah, you know, senseless is, violence it is, or terrorism. No, it's terrorism. I don't know what the reluctancy is, Skip, of the White House to call these things. I mean, the guy who's screaming Allah Akbar in the, you hear it on some of the video that they had. I mean, this is like calling it workplace violence. This is ISIS morphing in the United States, in North America. This is how they're going to do it.
You're exactly right. You know, we have to admit that not all Muslims are terrorists.
Right.
But these days, virtually all terrorists are Muslims. And we have to recognize that there is a large group of Muslims who are using a philosophy and interpretation of the Quran and of the Hadith of Islam to justify what they're doing, to justify beheading those who don't agree with them, to justify killing fellow Muslims who refuse to recognize their interpretation of Islam. The United States, the president of the United States, has to recognize this. The only way you can actually combat an enemy is to recognize who the enemy is. And the president absolutely refuses to do that, and that makes it much more difficult. I was inspired by the Canadian Prime Minister, who got up and called a spade a spade, and he said, "This, we're going to stand against this." And the president of the United States, the greatest nation ever to exist in the world, refuses to take a stand and to fight the enemy that's facing us right now.
Well, let's listen to the words of Prime Minister Stephen Harper this morning. Here's what he said.
Make no mistake, even as the brave men and women of our armed forces are taking this fight to the terrorists on their own territory, we are equally resolved to fight it here. We live in dangerous times, yes, but the mission of our country and the work of this parliament goes on.
I will tell you, I'm going to be with, Skip will be as well, with the Prime Minister, former Prime Minister of Canada, Brian Mulroney, this weekend at Regent University for our Clash of the Titans event, and obviously this topic will be front and center. Than, there is a concern. The FBI issued a bulletin warning law enforcement about these kind of ISIS-inspired attacks. What is the sense? I mean, is there a sense of heightened security? I know you said yesterday it's always very tight where we are at our offices. What is the sense, though, about that issue as far as getting our resources in the United States up to speed on this?
Listen, I think it's crystal clear, Jay, that how the U.S. responds in this moment is going to impact how well we're protected, not just here around the ACLJ office because we are in the middle of the action, but across the country, Jay. I mean, all you have to look at is exactly what Skip alluded to. ISIS has said, see you in New York. They have said, we will raise the black flag of Allah over the White House. They have said, we are establishing a global caliphate. And, Jay, maybe most directly, they have encouraged exactly the kind of one-off attacks that we saw just the last couple of days in Canada. So the sense here on Capitol Hill, at least among lawmakers, is that we better get our act together because it is going to directly impact how successful these one-off attacks are in the United States of America. It is coming. The question is, are we going to respond soon enough?
You know, Skip, when we were at Oxford this summer researching this, we spent hours and hours in that library at Harris Manchester College looking at papers that our clerks were putting together and research that was being done and discussing these issues. We had a sense, even before the beheadings were public, even as it was just developing, that this was a new kind of threat. This is not operating in the caves. They are going to try to inspire. They're encouraging these lone wolves that have an affiliation. The fact that they're lone wolf folks doesn't mean they're not ISIS-inspired. They are ISIS-inspired. So tactically, this is a fairly easy way. I hate to say it right now, but these two guys that were involved in the ones in Canada were both on Canadian watch lists. And they were still able to do it. So this is a methodology that ISIS is employing now, where they are using troops in Iraq and Syria and gaining more ground. And the Yazidis are now under more attack again by ISIS, which Christians are as well. In the United States and Canada, North America, they may operate differently. But this kind of thing, it does bring terror and not only kills people, but tries to bring economic terror, too, if they were to do this in a mall, like we've seen in Kenya and some other places.
Absolutely. And what they're trying to do is every time there's a little success, and they view each one of these attacks as a success, that encourages more people to come out and do the same thing. We've got to stand firm. Our president has allowed the entire southern border of the United States to become so much like a sieve that we can keep nobody out. That's a prime way that these people can come into the United States. Canada is standing firm. Canada is pulling passports of its own citizens who are tending this way, and the United States refuses to take minimal action to stop our own citizens and to go after our own citizens. But it's exactly right. We have to recognize that even Al-Qaeda, which killed 3,000 people on 9/11, even Al-Qaeda views these people as being scary within the Islamic community.
Right.
And yet we don't take action against them. We don't view them like that, and we need to, because if Al-Qaeda views them with alarm, we should definitely view them with alarm.
You know, CNN, not exactly a conservative news source, has put together, and I think this is exactly the point, folks, that their news report says Canada's shooting raises fears of ISIS connection, because, they, of course, Canada's had two, you understand, in a week. So this has been, and it's both been aimed at military or that kind of target, or governmental targets, as it was at the parliament. Canada had approved air combat missions against ISIS this month, so this is, again, a retaliatory move. But listen to what our friend at Fox News correspondent David Miller had to say about this situation.
And about Bibo's past, we know that in the last few years, he did grow more religious. Media reports now say that Bibo had a relationship, knew another jihadist who recently traveled to Syria. This other jihadist apparently is now being sought. He has disappeared. This other jihadist apparently wanted to join terrorist groups.
The concern is with these, Skip, is that when you have these, there may be multiple sets in play. In other words, you've got one, now maybe things, I mean, they're back to normal tomorrow, and they're saying it was one shooter, but the reports yesterday were there was one shooter, but there may have been another person assisting in the car driving, and that has not been confirmed. But the concern, of course, is that there's multiple people involved. In other words, this was one incident, which was, well, two incidents. You had two separate incidents in Canada. Is there a third, fourth, and fifth? That's what you're always worried about.
And I think that's what we need to be worried about. If these things will begin to grow, if they become successful, people begin to see this as a way of taking the jihad to the Western world, to Canada, to North America, to the United States, and so forth, they're going to encourage these young men and these young, even young women, they're going to encourage these young people who are caught up in this and believe that this is a righteous act to go out and murder others. They're going to catch the imagination, and then the United States and Canada and the Western world is going to have to meet this head on. We cannot sit on our hands. We have to recognize the threat for what it is, and we have to take firm action right now.
All right, folks, we've got two things we want you to do. Be educated and informed. Again, a huge thank you. Number one on the New York Times bestsellers list for paperbacks coming out November 2nd is when the list will be out. The book is now in bookstores everywhere. Let me encourage you, get Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, and get a copy or two for your friends. Very, very important that we do that, that you do that, as we continue the momentum to educate everyone in the United States. And I know the book's being distributed now around the world. We've got to be prepared. We've got to take this to them, so we don't allow them to take this to us. Call us at 877-989-2255. Like our information on Facebook. Share it on Facebook. And remember, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, now a number one New York Times bestseller. Back with more in a moment.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Azia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Azia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Azia Bibi now. Call 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everybody. We're going to be joined by Eric Stackelback from CBN News, their terrorism correspondent who's done great work on this area in just a few moments, so he'll be joining us. But let me give you a brief update on what's happened. You know the situation in Canada. Two soldiers are now dead because of at least ISIS-inspired terrorists that are Canadian that also were taking up arms with the enemy. So it's reached the shores of Canada, North America. I believe that beheading of that grandmother just a couple weeks back in Oklahoma City is the same thing. This is the tactic ISIS is going to try to inspire here, and I think that's the reality of what we're dealing with. On a different note, our book Rise of ISIS, we got word last night that Rise of ISIS will be number one on the New York Times bestsellers list for paperback on the list that comes out November 2nd. That wouldn't have happened without all of you. And we encourage you to get copies of Rise of ISIS. Keep the momentum going on this as we try to educate people around the world. But literally, we would not have been able to have a number one New York Times bestseller without your support for this book. So we really appreciate that. We're fortunate now to have on the phone with us a very good friend, Eric Stackelback from CBN News, an expert on terrorism and ISIS as well as the other groups. And we drew the relationship when the last time we were on the air between ISIS and the Muslim Brotherhood and of course, Hamas. And a lot of that's in the book, Rise of ISIS. But Eric, your reaction yesterday to the situation in Canada?
Well, Jay, look, I think this is the new normal. As you were just saying, we can expect more of these self-starter, lone wolf-type jihadist attacks on European, Canadian, and, God forbid, American soil. A few weeks ago, an ISIS spokesman called for exactly this, for sympathizers to lash out and attack soldiers, civilians on Western soil. Jay, what they want is an insurgency on Western soil, a guerrilla war. They want to turn America, Canada, and Europe into a battlefield. And if we see more attacks like we saw yesterday and on Monday in Canada, and like the beheading in Oklahoma last month, look, Jay, if we see this on a consistent basis, on a regular basis occurring, which we may, because ISIS is a whole new level, then we have a major problem on our hands.
You know, when we were doing the research on ISIS this summer in Oxford, I'm really looking at this last year, we got the sense that they were going to operate on what I'd call two operational control and command centers. One would be what they're doing in Syria and Iraq, Eric, which is more of a military aspect, different than al-Qaeda in that sense, not hiding in caves, but operating as a full-blown military with probably somewhere between 35 and 45,000 troops now. They're recruiting every single day. Hamas does a very similar type of situation. They've got about 25,000. Collectively, you're looking at 70,000 jihadist troops in the Middle East region. And then we were under the distinct thoughts as we were looking at this, what are they going to do in the United States? And we sensed there, or North America, that they were going to be recruiting Americans, which you know that we know they've done, and they're going to do exactly this. Their recruiting may be just inspiring these kind of activities. It's the beheadings, it's the shootings, military targets. There it was just a grandmother. I mean, who had no military connection. The FBI sent out an alert last night to police officers and law enforcement, as well as to military, to be on the lookout for this. We're talking about the new normal, but this seems to be their two-pronged way of approaching things, Eric, at least right now.
Jay, I think that's a great way to describe it. They have the terrorist army in the very heart of the Middle East, but here in the West, they have a network, a growing network of sympathizers and supporters who in many cases have never even traveled to the Middle East. But Jay, they're radicalized online many times. Look, ISIS has such social media savvy. This is jihad 2015. I mean, these guys are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and they're making jihad seem cool for these young people. We had three girls just this week who tried to travel to Syria, join the group. Thankfully, they were apprehended. These three girls were from Denver, comfortable middle-class existence, but the lure of this Islamic State, they're telling young people in the West, look, you can be a legend. You can be part of something big. We're forming this caliphate. You can be a holy warrior here. You can have fame. Your life will matter. And that is resonating with young people across the West.
Let me ask you this as well, because this is something, Eric, I know you've been following. When you look at the jihadist groups now, do you think ISIS is the most pronounced and most dangerous?
I do, Jay. I do. I mean, number one, they control a vast amount of territory. They're having great success. And the way they are able to resonate with young people, it's another level. When you compare ISIS's official magazine to Al-Qaeda's magazine, there's no comparison. ISIS has taken it to another level. A big reason for that is because of the thousands of Westerners who are bringing Western pop culture to the Middle East and blending it, and hip-hop culture, if you can believe it, and blending it with jihad to make this appealing, sadistic package that is resonating here in the West. I think ISIS is another level. They are the cream of the jihadist crop right now on every level.
You know, this is, as you say, it's such a sobering thing and somber that this kind of approach has been successful. And it has been successful. I mean, this is the, and we've got to have the will. I mean, we've got the ability, the United States and our allies, to deal with this. You got to have the will to deal with it. And I think one of the things we point out in our book, Eric, is that, you know, you got to exercise that will. And that means you've got to call the nation to action again. You can't just say, well, it's over there, because right now, as of this week and last really 3 weeks, it's not just over there. It's here.
No. And, you know, President Obama calls the Oklahoma jihadist beheading workplace violence. I mean, Talk about willfully misleading the American people. You know, Jay, it was nice yesterday to hear the Canadian Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, say this was terrorism. We need that kind of moral clarity from our leadership. We don't have it right now. President Obama says the Islamic State is not Islamic.
Yeah, tell that to Khalif Ibrahim, by the way, that it's not Islamic.
Yeah, yeah. This is willfully, it's dangerous, Jay, because look, the media, academia, and especially the government, these are the gatekeepers, and they are willfully misleading the American people. It is a dangerous, dangerous thing. This administration knows the seriousness of the threat, yet they're not letting the American people in on what they know. If you don't know the enemy, you can't defeat the enemy. It's the first rule of war. Know your enemy. We have a lot of confused people right now inside the Beltway where I'm sitting.
I was just talking with Than Bennett from our Office of Governmental Affairs, and I played in the previous segment of the broadcast, I played those bites, Eric, because they are the president, this act of violence. You know, this is this, I hate saying this, but this is almost like he's in denial. Because his narrative of the Middle East has just fallen apart. It just hasn't worked.
Yeah, and this is a guy who cannot admit, as we know, Jay, when he is wrong. And look, the Middle East, everything going on, Iran driving for a bomb, this is a distraction from his domestic agenda to fundamentally transform America, in his own words. So all of this going on, he wants ISIS and Iran to just go away and leave him alone, basically. Real quick, Jay, in terms of that terror attack in Jerusalem yesterday, here's an example of where we're at with moral relativism.
By the way, barely got news mentioned.
Exactly. The State Department apparently is urging restraint on both sides.
Eric, I want to appreciate you coming on. I appreciate so much your great work covering this for CBN News and all the other networks you appear on. You're really representing all of us there, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for being on with us today.
Thanks, Jay. Anytime.
All righty. Eric Steckelback from CBN News, a great terrorist correspondent, really knows the issue. Folks, we need two calls of action right now. Number one, let's not forget Asiya Bibi in all of this. A mother of five sentenced to death for saying, Christ is our prophet. That was that caused this. You can go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org and sign that petition. Or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. To get your name on this petition that we're going to circulate around the globe to get work on her release with other people that are working on it as well. It's a global effort here with multiple organizations, as always, on these cases. I also want to say again a huge thank you to our JSecular Live listening audience. Because of you, we got word last night from our publisher, Simon Schuster, Howard Books, that Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. But let me encourage you to go out and get multiple copies for your friends. It's, again, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart, Target, Costco, Sam's, wherever books are sold. Get Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. We've got a lot more ahead. We'll be back with more in a moment.
We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asiya Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asiya Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers with the people of Canada with this ISIS-inspired attack. The guy was on the watch list, both of them, both the one that killed earlier in the week, the soldier, and the soldier yesterday. Both of the ones that did those acts of terror. That's what they are. They're not violence. I mean, of course, it's violent, but it's acts of terror. We're on the Canadian watch list, but nevertheless, so you can't, well, there's, I think, 900 people on that list. It's very difficult to watch everybody on it. So this is a troubling and tragic situation. It's one where resolve is necessary, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to hear a lot more on these topics, also topics about our books. We're glad you're back with us for the second half hour of the broadcast. Let me again announce this is a big moment for the ACLJ, and this would not have happened without all of you. We got word last night from our publisher at Simon Schuster, Howard Books, that we were selected by the New York Times as the number one New York Times bestseller for paperbacks and nonfiction. Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore. There is no way this would have happened without you, period. This was, the Lord obviously inspired us to get this going and the project, but if you didn't support the project, it would not have happened. Now that we want to do is keep this momentum building as the ISIS threat. I believe we've seen it twice now in Canada, once in the United States, that beheading in Oklahoma City of that grandmother a couple of weeks back. Same thing. These are ISIS-inspired events. This is their modus operandi, and we've got to take concrete action. Again, the book Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore, available in bookstores everywhere, now in New York Times, number one bestseller. Than Bennett, head of our governmental affairs. Let's talk about Asiya Bibi here before we go to the break. What's the next move here? We're up at about almost 167,000 signatures. What's the next move?
Yeah, every time we engage these cases, Jay, we do it in a multi-pronged layer. One of those prongs is here domestically with our lawmakers. The first effort in that prong is this congressional effort that we are leading. We are working with Congressman Joe Pitts, Senator Ted Cruz. They have drafted a letter, Jay. It is ready. It is ready to go. Right, what we are doing right now is circulating it in both the House and the Senate. The letter will go to Pakistan. It will clearly outline their violations of international law as well as basic human rights. Here's the main point. We send $2 billion a year to Pakistan. These lawmakers are going to say, we control those purse strings. If you do not work with us on this case, if you do not release Asiya Bibi, we are going to take that into account when we pass this authorization next year. We will continue circulating that letter into next week, Jay, and then it will go off to the Pakistan government.
On Monday and Tuesday of this week, we had Shahriyar Gill on the broadcast. He supervises our work in Pakistan. And Skip, of course, he works under your arena in our international and global practice and national security issues. But on this particular thing with Pakistan, and this is a U.S. ally, and you would think we would have the basically the cachet to do something here. I mean, this is the answer. They get $2 billion of aid, and it's a U.S. ally.
It is a U.S. ally, but it's an ally that's been troubled of late. You know, there was a dictator a few years ago, and he started this whole move towards implementing Sharia law. And since that's happened, it's sort of taken off. So what has traditionally been an ally of the United States has now become caught up in this whole movement to implement Sharia law. And because of that, we're now running into more and more problems as the Saudis provide money these madrasas to teach people about Sharia law.
Our other ally, I might add, Saudi Arabia is also our ally as well. These allies, we got to start holding these people accountable, these governments accountable. You know, Pakistan signed on to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, also the ICCPR, but obviously they're just ignoring it for the purpose of Asiya Bibi's case. This is a mother of five, folks, Christian woman in jail, death by hanging. Her crime? She said, Christ is the true prophet of God, when asked by a Muslim woman who was in a discussion with her. After Asiya offered the woman a glass of water, but she refused it because she was unclean. Asiya was unclean. That's how they view it. So we want to work on her release. ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. We've got a lot more ahead. Let me encourage you also, go to your bookstores today or go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and get Rise of ISIS, the threat we can't ignore. We encourage you to get multiple copies so you can get it into the hands of friends of yours and read this issue. We're dealing with ISIS right here in the United States now, folks. We talk about all this, Hamas, how it affects the Middle East, all of this in the book, Rise of ISIS, the threat we can't ignore. And you also get a link to the song Where I Stand. And by the way, the acoustic version of that's going to be out on Facebook, on my Facebook page, on Saturday with our good friend Ricky Skaggs. Back with more in a moment.
It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asia Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. By the way, that is an acoustic version of our song, Where I Stand, which our good friend Ricky Skaggs, a bluegrass legend, country music legend, came into our media studios here last Monday with us for a session, and we've been able to put that out. Back later on our television audience, you're going to actually see the performance of that song. When you get the book Rise of ISIS, the song Where I Stand comes with it. So let me encourage you, folks. It's out in bookstores literally everywhere. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, but literally everywhere you can get the book. Rise of ISIS, a threat we can't ignore. And that's important because this kind of jihadist threat, you know, in Pakistan, it may not be ISIS, but it is an Islamist regime. So Shahar Ergil is with us. He is in our office in Virginia Beach on the campus of Regent University School of Law. We have a large office there. Shahar actually supervises our work in Pakistan. A lot of you for the first time are hearing that we even have a work in Pakistan. We don't talk about it a lot, but obviously with a case like Asia Bibi's and others we've handled, we are going to now give you some information about that. Shahar, David French laid out what has happened to her, drugged by a mob for offering a cup of water. It was deemed unclean because she's a Christian. She said, our Christ is the true prophet after being pressured to convert. Unfortunately, Shahar, this is a all too common situation in Pakistan, correct?
This is very common. There have been hundreds of cases of blasphemy. People are in prison for that. People have been shot and killed. People have been villages have been burned down, and people have been had to leave their homes and relocate to different areas. So it is very common. It has been going on for the last 30, 35 years, and the government seems to be not doing anything for that.
Well, how important is the international outcry in a situation like this when you've got, Shari, when you've got Pakistan, an ally of the United States? So international outcry here going to be the key?
I think it's the key because we are not just the allies. We have, in 2009, the United States Congress actually passed a bill that gave $7.5 billion to Pakistani government over the 5 years period. So it is very important that international pressure builds up and the Pakistani government realizes that that these kind of charges are not just violating human rights, they're violating the very human dignity of these people.
Yeah, let me bring Than Bennett. By the way, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. How do you feel about your taxpayer dollars going to a government that right now is prepared to execute by hanging a Christian woman, mother of five, because she said our Christ is the prophet? And that's exactly what's happened here. David's going to give more detail in a moment about the case. But this is how serious it is. But you're also hearing, folks, the scope and breadth of the ACLJ. You're hearing from Sharar. We have an office in Pakistan, in Lahore, where a lot of this is going on, actually. And now we're trying to just raise international outcry. There are lawyers on the field there with some friends of ours that are handling the case. Well, we've got to build international outcry here. That means the UN. That means the European Parliament. That means every avenue we have on our global reach. And Than Bennett heads up our government affairs globally. Than, what's the next move here that we're doing?
Well, the first level engagement here in Washington, D.C., Jay, speaks to what Shahariari was just talking about. That is the congressional level, because Congress controls the purse strings of that $2 billion that goes to Pakistan every year. So we are actually supporting an effort led by Congressman Joe Pitts and led by Senator Ted Cruz in the Senate to send a letter to the Pakistani government reminding them that part of being a U.S. ally, part of receiving U.S. funds means upholding human rights like religious freedom. This letter from Senator Cruz and Congressman Pitts is going to lay that out. And to Shahariar's point, if they are not going to honor these human rights, they should not be getting our dollars.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. David, we talk about giving them money. I mean, you're talking about billions of dollars. We can have a condition on there that says, you know, you got to respect human rights, which, by the way, of course, they have signed on to all the UN international charters. What happens is these predominantly Islamic countries, is it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly. And they don't just get American aid. They're a top five recipient year in, year out of American foreign aid. They fly American-made F-16 fighter jets as the main weapon in their Air Force. They have American-made equipment all throughout their military. I mean, this is a country that depends on the United States of America for its national security to a great degree. And yet, what are we doing now that they're about to hang a mother of five on a trumped-up blasphemy charge?
I mean, you understand, folks, that she is facing a death sentence, this mother of five, Christian woman, for offering someone a cup of water, and when she was challenged on her faith, saying, "Our Christ is the true prophet of God." For that, she's facing the death penalty. So I need everybody that's listening to us or watching it on television right now to go to ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255, or BeHeardProject.com. One of the three. And sign this petition. I'd like to have it as we now start the work. I said we needed to cross 100,000. We've done that. We now know that our next goal, which we said yesterday, would be to get to 200,000. We think we could do it. But we really need your help on this, folks. So I need everybody to go to BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. We are getting calls. Before we take a call, though, I want to play. This is what the president said to the UN General Assembly just a couple years ago, precisely on this issue.
We're not only respect the freedom of religion, we have laws that protect individuals from being harmed because of how they look or what they believe. Like me, the majority of Americans are Christian, and yet we do not ban blasphemy against our most sacred beliefs. The strongest weapon against hateful speech is not repression. It is more speech. The voices of tolerance that rally against bigotry and blasphemy and lift up the values of understanding and mutual respect.
Our Christ is the true prophet of God. For that, she faces the death penalty. In Pakistan, our ally, billions of dollars of aid. Shahariar, let me ask you this. The court system in Pakistan, obviously the next step is the court, the highest court, which is their highest appellate court, correct?
Yes. The case will be appealed at the Supreme Court, and it could take up to 5 years until the appeal is heard.
Now, she's already been in jail, though, David, 4 years? So you're talking about, and Shahariar is saying another 5 years. She could be in jail another 9 years until this is adjudicated,
right?
This mother of five.
Right, and this is not just jail. It's death row. I mean, imagine that, living on death row for a crime that is illegitimate to begin with and that she didn't actually even commit on its own terms. I mean, she defended her faith in Jesus Christ. That's what she did, and for that, that was defined as blasphemy.
Listen to this from Voice of the Martyrs. Let me read this to you. They're saying there's been 5,000 blasphemy cases registered between 1984 and 2004 in Pakistan alone, just Pakistan. 964 were charged. though death sentence and blasphemy cases are not uncommon, Asiya Bibi was the first woman given the death sentence under this charge. Her appeal will be the second of a death penalty case for blasphemy to reach the Supreme Court. So, Shaharia, what happens here? I mean, you supervise our office in Pakistan, which most people watching and listening to this broadcast right now didn't even know we had. What actually happens now in the court?
Well, what happens is that the attorneys for her, they have to prepare a strong appeal and go to the Supreme Court.
But tell everybody, but hold it, Shaharia. Tell everybody what kind of pressure these lawyers get under.
Well, it's very common in these cases that a mob of Muslim protesters and even fundamentalist religious organizations, they appear at the court, they stand outside the court, chant slogans, and give death threats to even the judges. Actually, in the past, a high court judge has been killed for acquitting a Christian who was accused of blasphemy.
Yeah, listen. I want everybody to listen to this one. Okay, let's go play soundbite 18.
We know there have been threats by radical Muslims against them. We know there were about 25 mullahs that attended the hearing, were sitting in the courtroom, and about 2,000 more outside the courthouse, bringing the message to bear to the judges, hey, we're watching how you rule on this case. We know who you are. We know where you live. You're not out of our reach.
This is Dan Nettleton with Voice of the Martyrs, who's saying, Pakistan, do something. We've got to be, I appreciate what Voice of the Martyrs is doing. We've got to be more specific than that. We should not give Pakistan an option of doing something. But folks, I mean, you get 25 mullahs sitting out there. And very, very quickly here, Shahriar, the pressure that comes on these judges then becomes very intense.
Right. It becomes very intense, but it used to be that at the higher court level, which recently upheld the conviction, at least it was expected that the high court judges will not be succumbed to the pressure. But it's not the case anymore. In this case, we have seen that example.
All right, folks, here's what we need to do. If you want to talk to us on air, we're going to take your calls when we come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We will take your phone calls. This is an American ally. This is someone that's getting billions of dollars in aid. We need to take direct action. Than told you what we're going to be doing. We're going to get into more of that when we come back from the break. But again, ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. I'm talking to our entire audience around the globe here. Go to BeHeardProject.com or ACLJ.org. You live here in the United States, call 1-877-989-2255. Have your voice heard. Christian mother of five, 4 years in jail already, 5 more years before her appeal's even heard, and then she could be facing death by hanging. ACLJ.org, BeHeardProject.com, or 1-877-989-2255. Our book, Rise of ISIS, the paperback's now available in bookstores everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Sam's, Walmart. There's also an audio version. You'll get the song Where I Stand, and what you're hearing right now is an acoustic version of that done with our friend Ricky Skaggs. So pick up the book the book Rise of ISIS, and get that to your friends as well. Very important you do that. When we come back, more of your phone calls. I can't stand this evil
anymore. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. It is happening again, this time in Pakistan. A Christian mom has been sentenced to death because of her faith. Asiya Bibi was falsely accused of blasphemy, speaking against the Prophet Muhammad. Now this wife and mother of five will hang for her Christian faith. Through our international affiliate, the European Center for Law and Justice, and its partner in Pakistan, the ACLJ has been successfully fighting against blasphemy charges for years. We're mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about this very troubling case involving the Pakistani mother, Asia Bibi. Folks, she has been in prison for 5 years. She has often been in solitary confinement, a form of torture, simply for professing her Christian faith. Folks, we are calling all of you to action to stand with us, demanding that the Pakistani government exonerate her and release her. If you have not yet signed the petition, you can do it by calling 877-989-2255 or by signing online at aclj.org or at beheardproject.com. And folks, I would just say this. Hebrews 11 is known as the Heroes of Faith chapter. It chronicles all the great heroes of Christian faith. And after it does so, it mentions another category. It calls them others who were persecuted and tortured for their faith. Folks, that is Asia Bibi. She is a modern-day Hebrews 11 hero of faith. She is in prison for her faith, and I believe it is incumbent on all of us as fellow believers, fellow lovers of religious freedom, to demand her exoneration or release. That is what we are calling you to do. Again, the number 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org or beheardproject.com. I want to change directions just a little bit for a moment here. Jay had the opportunity over the weekend on Sunday to go on Fox News with Shannon Bream to talk about a lot of these related issues, to talk about persecution in Syria and Iraq, and specifically the advance of ISIS and his new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. He wrote it along with ACLJ's Law of War team. Shannon Bream had him on to discuss it. Folks, as you listen to this interview, if you do not yet have a copy of the book, you can get all the details online at riseofisis.com. It is also available in your local bookstores and, of course, online at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and other outlets. Again, the book title is Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. This is Jay on Fox News on Sunday with Shannon Bream.
The Obama administration keeps focusing on Syrian rebels, many of whom have far too close ties to radical Islamic terrorists for it to make any sense for us to be supporting them. The Kurds are allies, and they are boots on the ground. And when we work with them in concert, they're ready to fight on the front line along with serious air power. That's what we ought to be doing. And if it were a military objective to take ISIS out, I think that's what we would be doing.
That was Senator Ted Cruz on what he thinks it'll take to destroy ISIS. U.S.-led coalition airstrikes continuing to pound terror targets in Iraq and Syria. How well is it working, and is it enough to stop ISIS long term? Joining us now, Jay Sekulow, chief counsel at the American Center for Law and Justice and author of this brand new book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Cannot Ignore. Jay, good to have you with us today.
Hey, Shannon.
All right, so you were putting this together and researching this long before the average American even knew what ISIS was. What piqued your interest, and what did you discover?
Well, I think as soon as we learned last year that Al-Qaeda in Iraq actually had been severed and AQI, as it was called, became ISIS, the idea was there had to be a reason why. So we began the research process. I actually was putting papers together at Oxford University dealing with this. And what we found out was, number one, the methodology that ISIS has been using and the reason they were thrown out of, if you can believe this, they were deemed too brutal by Al-Qaeda. And so they were thrown out. And what happened was they then morphed into much more of a military operation where Al-Qaeda traditionally hides in caves. ISIS has military troops anywhere from 35 to 45,000. They have armaments. They control vast territories. Al-Qaeda never did that. They also have vast wealth and a constant flow of money, oil that has been taken from towns that they have now conquered, and they're in a conquest mentality. And the reason that we put the book Rise of ISIS together was you can't view this as the same as Al-Qaeda. Not all terrorists are the same. We are dealing with an army here, and these pinprick naval operations from what appears to be a reluctant commander-in-chief just is not going to do the jobs. And for the life of me, the reason why we're not funding the Kurds right now is ridiculous. But I'll tell you what I think it is, Shannon. It's the president really believes that he can work with Turkey, a NATO ally. But Turkey is sat on the border watching Kurds get slaughtered by ISIS, doing nothing about it. So I think reliance on Turkey is significantly misplaced.
Well, but will Turkey finally be drawn into this simply out of its own self-protection and its own self-interest? I mean, it's right there at their border.
It is right there at their border. But, you know, the one of the interesting dynamics with Turkey is the government in Turkey has become an Islamist regime. This isn't the Turkey of Ataturk. And you remember the conditions that the government in Turkey is putting on the United States for any kind of Turkish intervention is you've got to remove Assad in Syria. Well, that's a double step, and I think that's their political agenda. But the reality is, and I think this is the fundamental problem that we have to be aware of, we have to be cognizant of, and we have to take action on. When you're dealing with a group like this, that's methodology is much more like Hamas than it is like Al-Qaeda. And you look at the nature of where the conflict's growing and how they are moving into territories. You've got ISIS basically coming out of the West going, look, I think Jordan's the next country that's going to be in their target. And you look at just the sheer landmass that they're now directing and controlling. We can't afford to wait for Turkey to make up its mind. And in the book Rise of ISIS, we go into the initial reactions of how ISIS was formed, but also how they're operating today and the connection with Hamas and the danger that it puts in the region.
And quickly, Jay, you discuss why it's important that the president and this administration use the correct terminology with this. The president was clear that he says this is not an Islamic group, that no religion would justify or encourage what they're doing. Why is the language so important?
Well, tell Caliph Ibrahim, whose name before he became caliph was Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, tell him this is not an Islamic insurgency group. ISIS, or as the president calls it, ISIL, ISIL, which is even worse, by the way, because when they put the Levant in there, that means Israel's part of the master plan for ISIS. I wouldn't even give him that much credit, although clearly it's a tactic. But to not identify this as radical jihadism, I mean, it's ridiculous. Again, the president has a narrative for how he views the Middle East, and the way ISIS is fighting and winning in a lot of territories, and the crucifixions of Christians, beheading of individuals. You know, to say this is not Islamic jihadism is ridiculous. These are jihadists. They're just jihadists operating like a military, and we need to respond to them as a military, but it's a reluctant commander-in-chief, and the policy is what we've got, and I think right now that policy could put the rest of the region, has already put the rest of the region in peril, and that probably gets worse before it gets better, unless the president takes decisive action.
Well, the rise of ISIS, a threat we cannot ignore, a fascinating read. Jay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Shannon, for having me.
Folks, again, that was Jay from Sunday on Fox News with Shannon Bream. The book title is Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. It is available now, both the ebook version as well as paperback. You can find it in all of your local bookstores or online, Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and other outlets. The website for more information is riseofisis.com. I encourage you to get your copy. Be educated on the threat that ISIS represents, where they came from, and what their ultimate goals are. Again, the name of the book, Rise of ISIS, A Threat We Can't Ignore. And folks, as we close the broadcast today, religious persecution really is the challenge of our generation, and we are calling all of you to stand with us as we stand with Asia Bibi, this Pakistani woman who is on death row for her faith. She is sentenced to hang. Folks, we are calling for her to release. We are asking the U.S. government to demand that the Pakistani government exonerate and release her. To stand with us, you can call 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org or beheardproject.com, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
And while the world is sleeping, we're
mobilizing our global offices and delivering a letter to the government of Pakistan demanding the freedom of Asia Bibi. She must not be allowed to die for her faith. Save this Christian mom, mother of five, from being executed. Sign on to our petition today. Free Asia Bibi now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.